translation. As one can derive fire from wood, milk from the milk bag of the cow, food grains and water from the land, and prosperity in one's livelihood from industrial enterprises, so by the practice of Bhakti Yoga, even within this material world, one can achieve your favor or intelligently approach you. Those who are pious all affirm this. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. This first paragraph I will not be talking very much about, so please listen very carefully. Although the Supreme Personality of Godhead is Nirguna, not to be found within this material world, the entire material world is pervaded by him, as stated in Bhagavad Gita, Maya Tatam Idam Sarvam. The material world is nothing but an expansion of the Lord's material energy, and the entire cosmic manifestation rests upon him. Matstani Sarvabhutani. Nonetheless, the Supreme Lord cannot be found here. Nachaham Teshvavistitaha. A devotee, however, can see the Supreme Personality of Godhead through the practice of Bhakti Yoga. One ordinarily does not begin to practice Bhakti Yoga unless he has practiced it in previous births. Moreover, one can begin Bhakti Yoga only by the mercy of the spiritual master and Krishna. Guru Krishna Prasade Pai Bhakti Lata Bij. The seed of devotional service is obtainable by the mercy of Guru, the spiritual master, and Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This next paragraph I will also not be speaking so much on. Only by the practice of Bhakti Yoga can one achieve the favor of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and see him face to face. Premanjana Churita Bhakti Valochanena Santa Sadaiva Hridayeshu Vilokayanti. One cannot see the Lord by other means. One cannot see the Lord by other methods, such as karma, jnana, or yoga. Under the direction of the spiritual master, one must cultivate Bhakti Yoga, Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, Smaranam, Pada, Sevanam. Then, even within this material world, although the Lord is not visible, a devotee can see him. This is confirmed in Bhagavad Gita. Bhakcha mam abhijanati yavan yaschasmi tatvataha. And in Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhakcha ham ekaya graya. Thus, by devotional service, one can achieve the favor of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, although he is not visible or understandable to materialistic persons. Next paragraph. In this verse, the cultivation of Bhakti Yoga is compared to many material activities. By friction, one can get fire from wood. By digging the earth, one can get food grains and water. And by agitating the milk bag of the cow, one can get nectarian milk. Milk is compared to nectar, which one can drink to become immortal. Of course, simply drinking milk will not make one immortal, but it can increase the duration of one's life. In modern civilization, men do not think milk to be important, and therefore they do not live very long. Although in this age men can live up to 100 years, their duration of life is reduced because they do not drink large quantities of milk. This is a sign of Kali Yuga. In Kali Yuga, instead of drinking milk, people prefer to slaughter an animal and eat its flesh. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, in his instructions of Bhagavad Gita, advises Gauraksha, which means cow protection. The cow should be protected, milk should be drawn from the cows, and this milk should be prepared in various ways. One should take ample milk, and thus one can prolong one's life. develop his brain, execute devotional service, and ultimately attain the favor of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. As it is essential to get food, grains, and water by digging the earth, it is also essential to give protection to the cows and take nectarian milk from their milk bags. Next paragraph. The people of this age are inclined toward industrial enterprises for comfortable living, but they refuse to endeavor to execute devotional service by which they can achieve the ultimate goal of life by returning home back to Godhead. Unfortunately, as it is said, Nate vidu swarta gatim hi vishnum durashtra ye bahir arta manina. People without spiritual education do not know that the ultimate goal of life is to go back home, back to God, back to Godhead. Forgetting this aim of life, they are working very hard in disappointment and frustration. Moga sha, moga kamano, moga jnana vichetasaha. The so-called vaishyas, the industrialists or businessmen, are involved in big industrial enterprises, but they are not interested in food, grains, and milk. However, as indicated here, by digging for water, even in the desert, we can produce food grains. When we produce food grains and vegetables, we can give protection to the cows. While giving protection to the cows, we can draw from them abundant quantities of milk. And by getting enough milk and combining it with food grains and vegetables, we can prepare hundreds of nectarian foods. We can happily eat this food and thus avoid industrial enterprises and joblessness. Agriculture and cow protection are the way to become sinless and thus be attracted to devotional service. Those who are sinful cannot be attracted by devotional service, as stated in the Bhagavad Gita 7:28. Yesham tu antigatam papam jnanam punya kamanam te dvandva moho nirmukta bhajanti mam dridhavrata. Persons who have acted piously in previous lives and in this life, whose sinful actions are completely eradicated, and who are freed from the duality of delusion, engage themselves in my service with determination. The majority of people in this age of Kali are sinful, short-living, unfortunate, and disturbed. Manda sumanda matayo manda bhagya hi upal drutaha. For them, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has advised, Hare nama, Hare nama, Hare nama eva kevalam, kalo nasjeva, nasjeva, nasjeva gatir anyata. In this age of quarrel and hypocrisy, the only means of deliverance is chanting the holy name of the Lord. There is no other way. There is no other way. There is no other way. Omagana timarandasya jananjana shalakaya chakshuran militam yena tasmai shri gurave namaha. In every field of service, there are some particular verses which are very important to underpin and to give guidance about that particular area of service. And this verse in purport would be one of those very powerful verses that those in the field of care protection and agriculture would refer to. And particularly in these controversial times where there are questions about whether devotees should drink milk. And this purport unequivocally, very difficult to say anything else, uses words like essential. It is essential to drink milk. It is essential to protect cows. And this is very interesting because this verse is talking about how you can understand, how you can find Krishna in the material world. Just like it says here, Yatagnim Adasi, finding fire in wood. Like, for example, we're now surrounded by fire. In all these wooden pieces of wood, there's fire there resting. And with a certain type of arrangement, by friction, you can bring it out. In fact, we know that ourselves. If you put your hands together in a cold day, that friction creates heat. Now, there are some examples where actually people go in flames. We remember in the pastimes of Dhritarashtra, he actually went to the forest, and by mystic yoga, his whole body became engulfed in mystic fire. So sometimes, even in ordinary life, there are examples of spontaneous combustion where people just burst into flames. We also hear that Krishna says, I am the fire of digestion. So within our stomach, there's a fire. And whether that fire is working well or not, then we get indigestion or we can digest our food. So this fire is in the wood. And by friction, you can bring it out. It's kind of a different way of looking at it. They say we burn fire. But actually, we say the fire comes out of the wood. It kind of is there, but it just comes out of the wood. And by friction. I've never made fire. Anybody here made fire using wood? By rubbing? One person. So when we get stuck, we know who to go to. So somehow or other, you have a piece of wood at the bottom, usually has a piece of wood at the top, and then you have something to agitate this wood to create the friction. Sometimes they're like a bow with a bit of string around it, and you pull it, and it basically turns the wood back and forth. Somehow you use your hands like this. You go down the wood. And at the bottom, it kind of creates friction. Eventually, you get an ember. And then with the ember, you then can light something. And if you were traveling, you'd always carry a bit of dry grass in your pocket or something, so you could always start your fire. Now, here in England, you can actually get fire from stone. There's a stone called flint stone. And in this area, it's quite common. You can actually find it if you basically... Sparks fly out. So Krishna has made arrangements that you can find fire from different sources. There was one devotee here called Paramasiddhi. He was one of our South Indian type brahmanas. And when he did a fire yoga, he had this bluff. He would dip this cotton wool into some kind of chemical. Then he'd go, rah, 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 and boom. Would come in flames. So yeah, he kind of bluffed there. Well, it was kind of by mantra the fire was coming, but it was some by a mixture of chemicals. So it was a process. If you know the process, you can bring fire out of wood. Similarly, if you know the process, you can find Krishna in the material world. Then he says here, Amritam Goshu, milk from the cow. So milk is there, but there's a way of getting it out. Now, if you did go to a cow and say, give me some milk, you can wait all day. Sometimes you find the cow is giving milk when they have their calf. Sometimes the milk is dribbling. It dribbles out of the udders without any kind of activity. They're so eager. But that's not very common. Actually, we do read in the Krishna book that the cows would muddy the fields by their udders just dripping milk onto the grass just spontaneously. But there's usually a process. And that process is by agitating, I think probably use the word, agitating the milk bag of the cow. Now, it's very interesting because recently I became aware that cows are more miraculous than I thought. When I first took over the Goshala in 92, there was a cow that had given milk for 8 years without a calf. She was a miracle cow. I think when she died, in the newspapers, it was described as a miracle cow. And what they said was they had impregnated her, but she never got pregnant. But somehow they started swelling in the udder, and they started pulling on her udder, and she started giving milk. So gradually, as I went around Europe, I heard other stories also that somehow or other a cow would start swelling in the udder, and the devotees would start pulling on the udder, and first of all, it became water, and within 2 weeks, it became milk. I'd experienced myself, I think last year, I went to Germany, Simmerchalam, and they had a black cow there, which there was a slight swelling in her udder, so I just pulled it a little bit, and I found a bit of water coming out. I said, why don't you just try it? I've heard that people have done this, and it's got milk. So they tried it, and now that cow is giving like 10 litres of milk a day or something. Now, when I was in Hungary last year, they told me that actually it's very common in Hungary to get a cow to give milk without even having a calf. It's part of their history. that what they would do is when the spring grasses come and the cows all go out, they're excited, they would just pull on the udders and the cows would give milk without even having a calf. So there's a miraculous thing there. Now it's seen that what they told me was that from their experience, every cow that you pull on the udders gives milk, apart from one. That's what they said. They only had one cow that wouldn't do it, but every other cow would do it. Now, this is going to help us, because there's a certain pastime that we may read that we may find a bit troubling. And I'll come to that in a minute. Now, it gets more extraordinary. We hear, it's quite normal for ladies to be wet nurses. And in the seven mothers, the nurse is a wet nurse. I didn't realize, I just did some research recently, and I saw that actually when Prabhupada used the word nurse, he's referring to a wet nurse. Not just the nurse that goes, that treats you in a hospital, but someone who feeds you with her own breast milk. And what I understand is that a lot of the wet nurses wouldn't even have a child themselves. They would induce themselves to give milk. Now, it gets even more extraordinary. One devotee, he told me his daughter was having a baby, so he wanted to research breastfeeding. And he researched, he went to South America and he found that there's a tribe there, or tribes there, that the men also breastfeed their children. Wow. Rather extraordinary. And I did some research myself, and I found there are stories. There are examples where men have actually produced milk. Somehow their wife died or something, and they basically agitated themselves, and they produced milk. Now, it's good to hear this, because there's a pastime where Krishna milks the bull. And if you're not aware of this kind of side, you can get a bit confused what that means. Now, bulls also have four teats. So Krishna had the ability to produce milk from a bull. Now, we've never tried it. We've never done anything like that. We've never even tried. Well, we have. We have had cows that have given milk without a calf. But we've never tried it, trying to get milk from a bull. No one's ever tried that yet. So it might be an interesting experiment sometime to see what happens. Well, there's a general process. Later in the fourth canto, earlier on, Mother Earth, she says, well, there's a process to get milk from a cow. And the process is yet of a calf. This is the normal procedure. These cows that give milk without a calf, usually they don't give as much milk as a cow that has a calf. And actually we see very practically that there's something very very fundamental and very wonderful seeing a cow in relationship with his calf. They're like infatuated, completely infatuated by their calf when it's born. And they basically want to take their eyes off the calf for a moment. Sometimes when the calf is born, it wants to suckle, because they sometimes want to suckle very quickly when they're born. The mother backs off because she doesn't want to kind of lose seconds of focus on her calf. So that relationship is very important. Now, modern farmers don't like that relationship, because they're thinking of something else. They're thinking of profit. They're not thinking about the needs of the calf. It's interesting, because there's an idea that the milk of a cow is not for people, it's for the calf. Now, in the fourth canto, again, it mentions there, maybe I just pull it out, just give you the reference to it I'm sort of talking about. I find this very fascinating. This is what Mother Earth says. Okay, the last part of this verse says, she says, and if you desire to nourish them by taking milk from me, you should make arrangements to bring a calf suitable for this purpose and a pot in which the milk can be kept, as well as a milkman to do the work. So three things you need. Three things. A calf, a container, and a person. Since I'll be very much affectionate towards my calf, your desire to take milk from me will be fulfilled. This is controversial. Since I will be very much affectionate towards my calf, your desire to take milk from me will be fulfilled. What this verse is telling us is that that affection that the cow has for its calf, we can use that affection to take milk for ourselves. This fundamental desire for the cow to give milk to her calf, it is authorized, it is bona fide, it is our theology. It is sanctioned by God that we can actually use that desire of the calf to give the cow to give milk to her calf for milk for us. So our understanding is that the milk is not just for the calf. Our understanding is that milk is for people as much as it is for the calf. In fact, you find by nature that the calf needs significantly less than the cow produces. Now, sometimes they breed certain cows in certain ways that they don't become too milky, because their aim is for a different kind of cow that basically they're going to kill these cows. But the normal dairy cows give more milk than the calf needs. And this is an arrangement by Krishna. Sometimes Prabhupada, in some purports, he gives quantities of milk that the cows used to produce. And that's very similar to modern modern breeding cows. So there's a process of getting milk, and it requires these three things again: the calf, a bucket, and a person. Now, we may ask ourselves, well, why aren't we doing more of these things? Here it is, very emphatic instruction by Srila Prabhupada that we should protect cows. Protect cows and draw milk from the cow. This is interesting. Sometimes there's an idea that we should just have a cow. Just have a cow, then we've solved it. That's Gauraksha. No. Gauraksha means, Prabhupada says in one purport, cow protection means good milk and good trade. So here, you very hardly find a verse where he talks about the cows, and everything about the cow is beneficial. The cow dung, the cow's urine, the cow's skin, everything is beneficial. But the majority of the verses are all about milk and drinking milk and making wonderful preparations. So in other words, there's a result, a fruit. There's something tangible that has to come from cows. Now, this is also related to this industrial enterprises. Ujjamanecha Vritim. And Prabhupada uses the word industrial enterprises. If you want to become successful, you have to do some endeavor. And Vaishyas particularly, they're meant to do Gauraksha. Krishi, Gauraksha Vanyam. Krishi means finding these anams, finding these grains within the earth. And Gauraksha means to protecting cows. One time, someone wrote to Srila Prabhupada giving him advice about cow protection. And Srila Prabhupada said, what can we do if the Vaishya community, they open factories and businesses and they give us advice about cow protection? In other words, it is the domain of the Vaishyas, the businessmen, to actually protect cows, to actually produce grains, because their mentality is fruitful. Their mentality is profit-orientated. This is what drives the Vaishya focus. And this, therefore, is interesting. This is where the cow should be. They should be protected by people who want to get some kind of fruitive result from it, some kind of accumulation of something. To get grain. Now, previously, wealth was measured in terms of how many cows you had, how big your stack of grains was. So nowadays, it's very hard to make a living through agriculture and cow protection, and therefore the Vaishya do something else. They have a business. They have an industrial enterprise. Now, in this purport, Prabhupada kind of, he says some things questioning how, casting some doubts that this is a good way of doing things. He says here that he talks about producing food grains and milk and preparing hundreds of nectarian foods. The other day, there was a couple of guests was here, and one lady, she'd been here a number of times, and her daughter was with her. This first time she brought her daughter. Her daughter wants to do some voluntary work in the summer. So her daughter said, we give him some. There was a, I think it was on the day that Krishnadharma's birthday was, and it was quite nice prasadam. So the girl said, this is the most tastiest food I've ever had in my life. I don't know how her mother was thinking about that, but anyway, this is her reflection. So there's something very satisfying about food. And actually, this is what really satisfies. Eating is probably anum. What's it? Anamoya? Our first need is to the sense of dependence on eating food. And this is what actually satisfies. Industry doesn't satisfy. People who are working hard in their factories don't feel satisfied. I was away this weekend with my wife. We went my family are in Manchester, and we went to Blackpool and walked across the beach. And on the right-hand side was the theme park. And I was reflecting in my childhood days of going on those rides and actually remembering that you never felt satisfied. You experienced some pleasure and some exhilaration, but you never felt satisfied. And this is the state of the mature world. With great industrial enterprises, people don't feel satisfied, and it creates unemployment. Nowadays, when they show you some modern factory, they have some robot doing all this work. This is a great achievement. We had a devotee working for a bread company, and this bread company was providing this food to one of the big supermarket chains. And what happened was, they were a very hands-on, very labor-intensive business. And another factory came on stream that was fully automated, and they offered the same product to the same supermarket chain for £1 million less a year. So the supermarket chain told this other company, "We want to work with you, but we're a business. So unless you can bring your cost down, we're gonna jump suppliers." So this is the difficulty, that in a society where you want to make profits, you don't value people. But here Prabhupada talks about joblessness. We see practically, because of industry and computerization and modern technology, there are more and more people unemployed. I don't know what the current state of this country is. Was it 2 million, something like that, in this country? Who knows the joblessness rate? 2 million people. I did a calculation one time that in this country there are 10 million cows. And if all those 10 million cows were looked after the way that we do, what would that mean? And I calculated that each person would get 0.3 of a liter of milk per day. I think the current figure is about 0.45. There's not a significant drop in milk. That's with 10 million cows. And also we'd employ an extra 600,000 people hand milking the cows. Now we may say, yeah, these materialist people, these non-devotees, they don't make the right decisions. But we're faced with these things here. This is why I mentioned this is why it's important to recall these three things to get milk from a cow: a calf, a bucket, and a person. And so if you want milk from a cow, you have to have a field. Anybody know what land costs? About £10,000 an acre. So for one cow, you need about 2 to 3 acres. So already that might cost you £20,000 to £30,000. Then you've got to build a barn. Of course, a barn doesn't need to be as extravagant as what we have here at Bhaktivinoda Manor, but you need some kind of barn, a place to keep your cows, a place to keep your hay, a place to collect your milk, a place to put your calves, a place to put your storage, a place for your workshop, all these things. If we wanted to fulfill Srila Prabhupada's wish here at Bhaktivinoda Manor and have a herd of 150 cows, we would need to buy a 300-acre farm. That would cost us 2 million quid. So that's a very serious financial obstacle to prevent cow protection. Next thing is people. It costs £1 a litre to do this. To agitate the milk bag of a cow, to get the milk out, has a fundamental cost to it. In fact, it probably costs more than that. But in our subsidised society, the government helps people pay their costs. So cost £1 a litre to milk a cow. So cow protection is not something that you do to save money. It has a fundamental cost. And I would say this is why we're not fulfilling what Srila Prabhupada is asking us to fulfill here. He's saying that we should protect cows. Now, sometimes devotees will say, well, we're not protecting the cows. We can't afford. And when you get down to it, it's an economic issue. Even with our Ahimsa milk, it's not taking off. People aren't just rushing to the door to get it off the shelf because they will say, well, it's too expensive. I don't know what it costs per litre. Anybody know what it costs a litre for Ahimsa milk? How much? £5.50 for 2 litres. £5.50 for 2 litres. So it costs 5 times your local milk price. So it's very difficult for people to that. Although our ethics is cow protection, there's a financial cost to it. And this is the dilemma. Now, if we don't, but the point is that we have to solve this dilemma. Srila Prabhupada wanted us to have a society of creating an alternative. He wanted us to produce our own milk. And there's no choice. We have to drink milk. Srila Prabhupada says it clearly in this purport. I don't know how you can actually look at this any other way. It's essential to drink milk. It feeds the brain. Protecting cows, agriculture, is a way to become sinless. We hear about that, by cow protection, agriculture, you become in the mode of goodness. Your life becomes more simple. And actually, there's a lot of testimonies to that. People who live a life around the cows, they feel a certain happiness about it. And certainly, if you're protecting the cow, you're not killing the cow. So you're not suffering the sin. Lord Chaitanya, in his talk with Chankazi, he said, those who kill the cows will suffer for as many years in hell as there are, thousands of years, as of every hair on the body of a cow. So it's not a very hopeful future for those who kill cows. Now, I want to say something. That there is a number of things listed as being implicated in the killing of the cows. Can anyone recall what they are? I don't remember them on my hand. One who kills the cow? One who assists in the killing, maybe. Okay. One who sells the cow? One who transports the cow? One who eats the cow? One who cooks the cow? Milk is not mentioned there. You don't find anywhere said that if you drink the milk of a cow that has been slaughtered, you are implicated. It doesn't say that there. It's also interesting to say in the conversation with Chankazi, where cows are being killed, this group of people were killing cows, and Lord Chaitanya said, what kind of religion is this that you're killing your mother and your father? He doesn't say there that those who drink the milk of those cows and that are going to be killed are also implicated. He doesn't say that there. It's also interesting here that in all Prabhupada's writings, he also never draws such a comparison. And it's not that he didn't know. Right in the very first canto, there's that verse, Gam cha dharmu dagam dinam, brisham sudra padahatam, shamam yavasam, ashru vadanam, shamam yavasam ichatim. Right there. All the things of modern dairy is mentioned. The cows are poor. They're being beaten on the legs, or in this case, killed. They're desiring their calf. They're crying with tears in their eyes. They've lost their calf. And they're standing weak and as if desiring some grass. This is what we see today in modern dairies. This was spoken, written 5,000 years ago. It's a verse in the first canto of the Bhagavatam, depicting clearly what was going on in modern society. Same things are going on. And Srila Prabhupada says here, in 8 cantos later, drinking milk is essential. He could have said, actually, only drink milk from cows that you've protected. Doesn't say that. Milk is so essential, we should drink it. At the same time, he wanted us to actually have cows. He says here, we have to protect cows. And that's the expensive bit. You might like the milk of a cow, but you have to feed the cow, you have to take care of the people who take care of the cows. And this is the expensive bit. And this is the difficulty. This is why we don't have a society where there are more cow protection projects because of the economics of the whole scenario. So there's a process. There's a process of milking a cow to get milk. There's a process of attaining livelihood from enterprise. There's a process of getting fire from wood, or in English case, you get fire from flint. There's a process of finding Krishna in the material world by the process of devotional service. So this lifestyle that Srila Prabhupada has talked about here, he says it's conducive. This is somewhat conducive for Krishna consciousness. Agriculture and cow protection are the way to become sinless and thus be attracted to devotional service. So it suggests here, in very clear terms, that if you lead a certain lifestyle, it's helpful for devotional service. Now, maybe in time we can reflect and see how this has manifested. Agriculture means to cultivate the earth. How many people here have milked a cow? Anyone milked a cow? Anybody here not milked a cow? We have one lady, I think she maybe have some terminal illness, and she had a list of things she wants to do, I think, before she passes on. And one of them is to come and milk a cow, so she's going to come and milk one of our cows. Anyone here driven an ox? Even less. This is the real barometer. Many years ago, I met an Indian couple. I was visiting them in their house, and I talk about their time when they had back in India, when they had a village, and I asked them about calves. Would you prefer a bull calf or a female calf? And they said, we prefer a bull calf. Why? Because that bull calf will do transportation, will do plowing. Nowadays, if you say to people, would you prefer a bull calf or a cow, they'll say a cow. Because a bull has got no value. It's got no purpose. What would you do with a bull today in the 21st century? We struggle from it. We hardly have any bulls working. For example, at the moment, at Manor, we have 20 oxen that can work. And they're not all working all the time. It's not that we don't have a lot of work for them. We're not even able to do all the work for them. But the difficulty is that if you want to work a bull, you have to have a person to work the bull. How do you cover the cost of the person to work the bull? The economics is not very conducive. Now, what did Prabhupada say? What was his solution to this dilemma of oxen? Anyone recall what he said? He said, you go out in Sankirtan, 10 miles this way, 10 miles that way. He even said, you take the produce from the farm and you go into central London. Wow. So very controversial thoughts. But there'll never be a time in our life, I don't think, or the next life, or the next generation's life, where there will be a circumstance that will force the hand. I don't wait for that. I don't think we should wait for that day. I think we have to somehow or other make oxen, make cows part of our life today. So this verse is all about the importance of cows, the importance of drinking milk. It's about how miraculous they are. They give milk. And actually, if you don't drink it, your life becomes shortened. Here, Prabhupada says that one should drink, what's the word he uses? I can't find the word. Drink large quantities of milk. Now, he's also said things that I think he was having a conversation in New Vrindavan, and he said, if you drink too much milk, you're going to get some illness or something. I don't know, TB, I don't know what it is. Some illness you get if you drink too much milk. But here he's seeking large quantities of milk. In that conversation also, he mentioned that devotees should drink 1 pint of milk a day, and then he said, okay, 1/2 pint of milk a day. Now, if you have if you buy a punnet of chili paneer in the shop, it weighs, I think, 0.4 of a kilo. That 0.4 of a kilo is worth 4 liters of milk. So that one punnet of paneer is 4 liters worth of milk. So you might not need, if you want your quota of 1/2 pint, which is what, about 1/4 of a liter or something, I don't know, you may only take a little segment of that punnet of paneer as your daily quota of milk. Anyway, just some points to consider here. Any comments or questions, please?